All the military services have been cutting their headquarters staff since 2013. That includes their National Guard and Reserve components in the case of the Army and the Air Force. But a new report by the Government Accountability Office says there's significant confusion in the Air Force about which policies apply to which offices in its reserve components, meaning the Air Force hasn't come up with realistic assessments of how much support staff its reserve headquarters actually need. Andrew Von Ah is GAO's Acting Director for Defense Capabilities and Management. He tells me DoD's headquarters reduction remain a topic of congressional concern.
Just as they're looking at headquarters across the department, the reserve components, make up the Army reserve components, for example, make up about half of the force, the ready force for the Army. Similarly, the Air Force makes up about a third. And so, and there are, thousands of personnel that are in support positions in those organizations. And so just as, looking across the agency as a whole, the committee was concerned and about looking at the reserve components as well.
Right. And if you're going to do those headquarters reductions smartly, you probably want some idea as to what your actual manpower requirements are. So let's jump to the Air Force headquarters elements on that question. And I think you found some fairly serious inconsistencies on how the Air Force is applying really the guidance that they already have in tallying up their workforce needs.
Right. In general, we found that the guidance that they have is unclear. Basically, there's for the Joint Force Headquarters State headquarters staff, they don't have a requirement that that manpower is assessed on a regular basis. Similarly, for some of the other organizations, it was unclear whether certain guidance applied to some of the headquarters organizations. We talked to a number of the different headquarters organizations, and there was sort of confusion about whether this guidance applied to us or this guidance applied to us didn't apply to us. In addition, there was sort of a lack of clarity around how often these assessments should be done. So, while the Army has a very clear, we're going to do these assessments every 3 years, the guidance said on a biannual basis, and yet they were doing it on a biennial basis.
Yes, always that confusion between biannual and biennial. And yet, within the headquarters elements in the Air Force, you still found some pretty significant reductions. Just looking at the numbers here, down 15% in headquarters Air National Guard from 2013 to 2016, down 41% in the director of the Air National Guard, down 8% in the headquarters of Air Force Reserve Command. I mean, if they have made those reductions, despite not having this clear guidance, am I jumping to conclusions if I say that these cuts that they've made were somewhat arbitrary if they're not basing them on good data about their needs?
Well, the cuts were in response to required DoD reductions across the board. And so, our concern, I think the committee's concern is that, we're making cuts smartly, that we're looking at across our personnel needs and making sure that, as we're reducing the headquarters personnel, we're still ensuring that we have the right people in place to accomplish the mission. And so that's why these assessments are important and they're necessary on a regular basis to conduct.
You touched on the Army headquarters elements briefly, but once again, how did they do in terms of, as you said a second ago, making these reductions smartly?
Well, the Army has we found that the Army has essentially assessed about half of their personnel requirements. They've started to focus on some non-headquarters personnel manpower analyses at the moment. But they have a schedule. They have their assessments are externally validated, and so they're on track to go across and assess their positions appropriately.
That external validation, that comes up in a couple points in the report. I know it's based on some of your prior work, but why is GAO recommending that these are scrutinized by some kind of outside validator?
Right, and this is just, it's sort of good management practice and something that in terms of internal controls that GAO is always talking about, we like to see. If you're assessing your own personnel requirements and then you're validating it yourself, it's good to have an external party come along and sort of check your math and making those cuts appropriately. And so that's why we recommend that they do an external validation, which in terms of the Army and the Air Force, they have that process in place, and those assessments are externally validated. In terms of the National Guard Bureau, we found that there's still not a consistent process in place for those assessments to be externally validated.
Mm-hmm. So let's pivot to the state level joint headquarters, and you looked at four states and territories for this report and found some pretty significant staff growth, particularly on the Army side in those headquarters. Why was that?
Essentially to meet mission requirements. Those Joint Force Headquarters State, they've been growing due to mission requirements. And so, you know, and not only that, but I think there's, you know, another, what we've mentioned before is that the Air Force doesn't have a requirement to continually validate and assess those manpower requirements. And so, you know, that's where our recommendation came in for the Air Force to continue to, you know, clarify its guidance and make those requirements clear.
And I'll just read those Army numbers for our listeners. Texas was up 56% between 2013 and 2016. New Jersey, 32%. Georgia, 47%. And Delaware, 15% in the Army National Guard staff elements at the state level. Do we know if that growth was in support of federal missions or state missions, or is it even possible to disentangle the support staff that you'd use for either one?
We did not assess whether it was for federal or state missions, and I don't think you could probably disentangle that.
Yeah, and one of the reasons I ask is because I assume there's some state money involved, so it's not necessarily all DoD spending on these positions. Is that fair?
That's right, and those forces are, when they're not under doing federal missions, they're under the authority of the state adjutant general.
And why don't you just wrap us up, Andrew, by talking a bit about your recommendations as regards the Air Force and how they responded to those.
Sure. We made two recommendations to the Air Force, essentially to revise its guidance to clarify the frequency with which all of its headquarters should be assessed, as well as to make it clear who the guidance applied to, and certainly to make it clear that the Joint Force Headquarters State should be assessed as well. The Air Force generally agreed with those recommendations, although for one of those recommendations in terms of the Joint Force State, Joint Force Headquarters State, we just needed to address it to the right party. But in general, they did agree with those recommendations, and we hope to see some positive results from that.